This is Movies on TV Podcast Industries. We're back with our spoiler-filled discussion of Werewolf by Night.
My word. A monster. Masquerading as one of our own. Desecrating a sacred night. And you. What was the thinking here? You freed a monster with a monster?
Didn't know that bit.
Well, I can't wait to find out what breed of evil you are.
Welcome back, fellow defenders. We're back talking about Marvel on Movies on TV Podcast Industries with our spoiler-filled discussion about Werewolf by Night. I'm one of your hosts, Derek.
Welcome back, fellow defenders. I am one of your other hosts, John.
Yes. Halloween special from Marvel. Came out on Disney Plus ridiculously early during the month of October, so we held off and decided we'd talk about it on Halloween itself.
Yes.
Much better idea, right?
Much better.
Yeah. It's a fun little excursion here from Marvel. Very different from all of the other Marvel movies and TV shows that we've seen in the past, doesn't
it? Yeah, a special presentation.
Yes.
Of, I guess, this other world of Marvel, which is the monsters. You know, we know about this through Blade with vampires. We have werewolves introduced here.
Yeah.
It's also, you know, in some ways connected with Moon Knight as well. And the Black Knight, I guess, you know, from the Eternals. We have this other side of the Marvel Universe being introduced here more definitively, you know, with that narration right at the start about the real world and the monster world.
Yes, the world full of heroes, and below them are the world full of monsters and monster hunters as well. I thought that was kind of interesting to have, to not have something like the Watcher from What If doing the narration at the start. So you kind of are saying this is all in the same MCU overall, interestingly or not. They could have done something like having the Watcher there, and it would make it sound like this is an alternate world, but this is just saying below the world that we know is this world full of hunters. Very cool. Also, do love Halloween. Halloween's always a fun time of the year. So, so getting something like this, a Halloween special from Marvel, done really well in this way, kind of referencing the old Halloween movies or horror movies from the 40s and 50s. I thought it was a cool idea to do, to bring in these characters. So,
Exactly. Just the whole feel of it, the music, the black and white, obviously, as well. Just really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have some thoughts in from our wonderful fellow defenders who've given us their thoughts on this episode. If you want to share your thoughts with us or anything about any of the shows that we cover, you can always contact us through feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com. You can email us over there, or you can join us over in our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TV Podcast Industries. Also, our podcast, TV Podcast Industries, has loads and loads and loads of episodes of loads of TV shows and movies that we cover. We're currently covering Pennyworth over there, but just finished covering She-Hulk from Marvel, The Rings of Power, the Lord of the Rings a prequel series on Prime Video, loads of other stuff as well. And then, of course, we will be back in Marvel Movie Land in the cinema when Wakanda Forever comes out on November 11th. So, so lots and lots of stuff.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast at tvpodcastindustries.com or just search TV Podcast Industries. But let's go into our spoiler-filled discussion about Werewolf by Night.
Yes, Derek, who gave us what, when, where, and how?
Well, the teleplay for this movie was written by Heather Quinn and Peter Cameron from a story by Heather Quinn. Heather was a staff writer on Hawkeye and co-wrote episode 4 that season. And Peter wrote 2 episodes of Moon Knight and the teleplay for a third, along with being an executive story editor on WandaVision and also wrote 2 episodes of that show. So some proper MCU TV alumni here.
Definitely, yes.
And great to have a bit of a connection to Moon Knight in the writer's room. The reason John mentioned that Moon Knight is connected to this show is actually Moon Knight's first ever appearance was in Werewolf by Night issue number 32. So he does have a connection. And I think the expectation from a lot of Moon Knight fans was that we might see him in the background at some point in this episode, that we might see an appearance from Moon Knight, but they may be saving that for later.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how that would potentially have worked.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't have
given
worked.
Given the story.
Episode. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the movie stars Gael Garcia Bernal as the titular Werewolf by Night, Jack Russell. It also stars Laura Donnelly as Elsa Bloodstone and Harriet Sansom Harris as Verusa, the person who seems to be having most fun on set in this
movie. Oh, she was brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, really good.
Really know her from Handmaid's Tale, where she plays a quite villainous character in there.
Yes.
But she is fantastic here. Really eating up the scenery here. Really, really enjoyed her performance. Really like the cast in here overall. It's a very small cast, but really did enjoy them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And of course, who directed this as well? Very interesting.
It is, yes. This was directed by Michael Giacchino. First major directorial role, although he did direct an episode of Star Trek Short Treks a couple of years ago. He's much more well known for his amazing composing, though. Well known for his score for the J.J. Abrams Star Treks and the TV show Lost. But he also did the score for Tom Holland's Spider-Man movies, Thor Love and Thunder. And most recently, he did the Batman movie as well. And of course, he did score Werewolf by Night too.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Double role here for Michael.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. The other thing that he's well known for is that he did the changeover of the MCU titles the first time they changed it to that music that plays with at the start of every single MCU
movie. With the Marvel Studios logo.
With the Marvel Studios logo, and he's kind of updated it here.
For absolutely. Yeah. Bit of choral going in on it. And, of course, I loved how they interrupted it with the screams, the growls, and all of that kind of stuff. It was really good.
Absolutely. Yeah, really, really good touches in there, of course, from a great composer. But John, do you want to tell us what they gave us with your synopsis for Werewolf by Night?
Sure. Following the death of their fearless leader, Ulysses Bloodstone, a team of elite monster hunters gathers at the eerie Bloodstone Manor to claim the Blood Gem, a mysterious alien relic with unfathomable powers, and leadership of the Death Dealers. Ulysses' second wife, Verusa, announces the ceremonial hunt to the assembled hunters that include the cursed aristocrat, Jack Russell, and the patriarch's estranged daughter, Elsa. One by one, the hunters begin the hunt of the monster, and the other hunters, who are also fair game, to determine who will wield the Bloodstone. Escaping a number of the other hunters, Elsa and Jack form an unlikely alliance. As Elsa discovers that Jack wants to free his friend Ted, aka Man-Thing, the monster being hunted, she agrees to help him so she can reclaim the gem and her birthright. While Ted is freed, both Jack and Elsa are captured by the rest of the hunters as they too discover that Jack is also a monster. Both Elsa and Jack are caged together back at the manor as Verusa transforms Jack into his monster form, a werewolf. He escapes the cage, slaughtering most of the assembled guards, while Elsa finishes off the other hunters. Verusa uses the gem to try and finish off Jack, but he is saved by Elsa, who in turn is rescued from Verusa by Man-Thing. On a restless moonlit night, Elsa reclaims the sacred Bloodstone and the head of the Bloodstone family, as Ted and Jack are reunited in the woods.
Good stuff, and as befits a movie referencing classic monster horror. Very straightforward kind of story here.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. You know, why are they here? What are they to do? The to-do bit of the hunt, followed by sort of that resolution of who ultimately wins, of which it's not really straightforward in the actual hunt itself, but as a result of a whole range of different factors here.
Yeah.
Most notably, the fact that Jack Russell is trying to save the monster that's being hunted.
Exactly, exactly. Really, really enjoyed that that idea. We'll go into our major points for discussion for this episode. Let's kick off with the challenge for the Bloodstone as our point number one. The kind of setup and the premise for this movie. I do love how it all comes along effectively as you're following Jack as he's walking into this room filled with hunters, with the coffin of Ulysses Bloodstone set up right in the center of the room. room for this meeting. You're wondering whether this is a team getting together to go out and hunt a monster themselves, but each one is introduced with their kill count, which I think is a great idea, you know, where we have Jovan, the Scottish guy, introducing himself, going, I've got 57 confirmed kills. We have Azarel, who's got 37. We've got Leorn, who's got 43. And then we've got Barrasso, who's got 26. But it's revealed to the entire group that this unknown quantity, that is Jack, has over 100 kills himself. So everybody else looking on jealously at Jack. And then, of course, we get the introduction of Elsa Bloodstone, who feels it's her entitlement to be the leader of the Bloodstone family, even though she gave up on it 20 years ago. So what a great way to introduce each of these characters. The one thing I will say for the whole movie, I do think it's odd how much they keep all of the names of the characters hidden. Like there is a reference to it at the beginning, you know, that they're taking off their masks for the first time, that none of these people would have worked together in the past, that they don't really know each other. But I was surprised that they're hiding the names in this movie. That you don't even find out Jack's full name in this movie, partly because the name Jack Russell is absolutely hilarious for a character that turns into a werewolf. And it is from the original comics. So they just continue to call him Jack throughout.
Exactly. I mean, there is also the nod to what Jack will become on that tapestry on the entrance hallway as he walks through, and he looks over, and there's a telling little foresight there as well, which was quite good. And I like the fact as well that this challenge is effectively a free-for-all. I love that, yes, they are hunting a monster. It's a ceremonial hunt. The person who claims the monster will effectively take ownership of this gemstone and become the leader of this group to replace the dead Ulysses. But it is that in the process, it's any hunter is fair game in order to keep them from getting the stone and killing the monster. So it adds a nice little bloodthirsty, competitive edge to it, ultimately.
Absolutely. Yeah, really, really like that idea. And I have to say, the first time I watched this, the reveal of who the monster is was fantastic. We were very lucky from Disney Plus that we got this as a preview. Saw it a few days before it was released. But as we said, we held off until Halloween to cover it. But I had heard nothing. I had no idea that we were going to be seeing Man-Thing in here. And I love this reveal of the monster coming out, his hand grabbing Jack as we realize that Jack's actually there to save him. But his hand coming out in this kind of really scary moment, and then suddenly his face comes out and Jack's really happy to see him, and you realize they're friends, you know, this really lovable kind of creature in Man-Thing appearing here. It was a real surprise, and I think he looks fantastic.
He does look really, really good, both in black and white. And I loved towards the end where the color floods into the last sort of 2 or 3 minutes of this movie, that you've got his red eyes, you know, because it's just so iconic having his red eyes.
It is very cool.
So really nicely done.
Yeah, rumor has it that the company who were working on all of the effects for the movie did create a full size Man Thing that was present on set. Now there is obviously some CGI there, and there is, but I think this is an animatronic that we see for a lot of the time of Man Thing. And it makes sense in this type of movie to do that. If you're really throwing back to those creature features of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, if you're really doing that, then you might as well have a practical monster there on set. So I think it looked cool. I was very impressed because it's one of those things that you never know how they're going to translate from comic book to screen. So really like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I really like some of the sort of running gags here as well through the movie. And like, I love the butler.
Yes.
In this, just, you know, you think of Dracula, you think of the Ghost Manor or the Mystery Manor, and they've always got this butler. I mean, it's almost like with Clue, murder mystery type stuff as well. Yeah. But I just love how, you know, he's seen and not heard, but this works to his advantage at the end with the big fight where he survives and then ultimately, you know, very unceremoniously pledges his allegiance to Elsa, who has now taken the family title back, head of the family, and the gemstone. But you know, it's interesting, isn't it? There's ultimately the butler goes with whoever is the leader of the Bloodstone family.
Absolutely.
And
I do love that. I love how he just appears and goes, oh, I'm just here to offer my services before you kill me, basically.
Exactly.
In case I got killed off in the aftermath of everything that was going on.
Yeah. I love that he's the one that's turning the wheel to do the animatronic dead Ulysses.
Hilarious.
Which is really good. And as he moves past, you got there this way up on the back of the coffin.
Uh-huh.
Again, you know, just a nice little touch there. And I think, like you were saying, with Veruza,
mm-hmm.
just her manicness all the way through this was really, really good.
Oh, she's loving it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loving this this role, you can tell. And she just sets the tone for the whole movie throughout, like works really, really well overall. But let's talk about the transformation, the kind of change in this. We have the Battle of Old Hunters inside, which we're going to save for our top kills section, because that's what this movie really does focus on, some of the major kills within it. But I do like this idea that we have Jack here trying to free the monster, which is Man-Thing, his friend or even his family member, as Jack kind of says, this is his family. But it all turns, we know it's going to come, it's the name of the movie, Werewolf by Night. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about this idea of him hiding who he is throughout the whole movie, and then eventually he touches the Bloodstone and it reacts to him because he's a monster. So we have him captured, put into a cell with Elsa, who trusted him, who worked alongside him to free the monster. So they're going to leave her inside as he transforms into whatever monster it is he's going to turn into and kills her. That's the plan anyway. Seems like Veruza kind of had that in her mind the whole way throughout, that she was going to have Elsa killed.
I think so, because a lot of the other hunters are certainly mm-hmm. gunning for her, which, you know, leads to some amazing kills from her.
Yes.
I think she does literally kill all the other hunters.
Yeah.
And you get the sense that they were prepped. I mean, even we hear from one of them, why should she even be here?
Exactly.
To compete for the Bloodstone and the title.
Yeah. But I do think this is a big centerpiece of the movie, this moment where we have Jack in the cell with Elsa, and they're waiting for the transformation of him turning into this monster. And how well executed is that, where we basically see it through Elsa's eyes. Throughout, we've seen her as this really strong character, and she's watching on as the shadows of him morphing into this werewolf are going on in the background. That's all you can see are the shadows and just the grunts and noises coming out of Gael Garcia Bernal as he moves into being a werewolf. I love how scared she looks on her face. You know, again, she's a very strong character, but she's seeing this transformation in front of her. I think it just worked really well, much better than it would have been if we saw it on screen, I think, even.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, I love the nods, as you say, to the shadow. It's just the flickering light, mm-hmm. seeing that gradual transformation. Real old school way of doing that kind of transformation without just showing it transform,
mm-hmm.
sort of showing Jack transform all the way through, like you would kind of get now with CGI.
Yeah.
And I liked how as well, with the close-ups, it was just the hand.
Yeah.
Again, a bit of a nod to American Werewolf in London, mm-hmm. where it's just parts of the body that they show the transformation.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like, in many respects, I still feel that's the best way of showing it.
Yeah.
It just heightens the tension, and it gives that suspense mm-hmm. to the transformation. And, you know, even seeing the werewolf in its full glory. Again, it's just mirrored with shadow and light. It's almost like you don't really get that full picture of the werewolf. I mean, you do, obviously, but again, it almost feels like that nod to, like, okay, it's not old school, but like with Alien, mm-hmm. where because of the prosthetics, you know, they kept the alien off screen. It just added that sense of tension, really dappled it in the shadow of the spaceship in mm-hmm. order to just, you know, gloss over those kind of issues. And I think it really just
It works because it adds these layers of tension.
Just that unseen, that unseen fear that you have of something that's coming out of the darkness. Like, again, I like that the flashes that we're getting on the werewolf as we see him are from the sticks that the security guards are using. They're still flashing and sparking, and that's kind of flickering off his face. I think that's a really cool way of just using the atmosphere that you have and what you've built up.
And also the use of the smoke from the cattle prods that are being used against the werewolf in the cage.
That's very good.
That hiding of what's going on, but knowing it's somewhere. It's just a really good use of those techniques. And I personally just still think they work really, really well. And I loved Jack and Elsa as well, caged together. You know, you see her with a tear rolling down her cheek because it's, you're going to kill me.
Yeah.
And I like that you have Jack saying, you know, that's not who I am. This is who I am. Yeah. I'm a human. It's just, I become this other thing.
Just once a month, I have to lock myself up in a room and that's it. Yeah.
Exactly. And I like that he goes, I have systems to help with this and then start sniffing at her to get her scent so that when he is transformed, he won't attack. And you get that lovely kind of Beauty and the Beast moment where he jumps on her, but immediately the sense of smell, the heightened sense of smell from the werewolf, recognize it, and there's just the touch of the face from Elsa. So I really just like the whole vibe of that.
It's very cool. Very cool. I loved how the transformation into the werewolf worked. I think as the centerpiece of a show called Werewolf by Night, where you're wondering who's the werewolf, how they're gonna transform. I think they did a great job putting this on screen. Really, really good stuff. I think we'll get to our own centerpiece, which I think is Top Kills for this movie. I think that's what people are going to be focusing on, because we haven't seen something like this in most of the Marvel movies. Rumors that part of the reason that it's in black and white is because if they'd shown all the blood and all the gore that we have on screen here, that we would have got a much higher rating for this show than if it was shown in black and white. That apparently red blood increases your rating up over the TV mature rating. So they wanted to keep it so most people could watch it at least. So they kept it in black and white instead.
Excellent. Yeah, good stuff.
But I suppose you can kind of break the kills into three categories, because they're pretty much the only people that kill anybody are Elsa, Jack, and Man-Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, am I right? The hunters don't kill anybody, and the security don't kill anybody, even though they're the supposed villains in here, which is really interesting. But we get Jack initially being confronted by Jovan, the Scottish guy, and then Elsa fights against him, gets away, and then has a really, really interesting battle with Leorn, where he comes out of the darkness using this kind of cool kind of hand arrow shooter, I guess, or what would you call it?
A wrist-mounted crossbow, I guess, firing crossbow bolts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
And she takes out his arm first, so she takes off his arm. So he's without that weapon very quickly.
The other thing I really enjoyed about this fight was, as he's kind of gets up to fight her, she spins him around and you just get this spiral of blood coming out of the end of his arm that she's just cut off, which I thought was really good. And of course, bolt to the neck and through the chin was pretty, pretty brutal.
It was. And the fact that she pulls him off to the side as she hears Jovan coming after her again, she pulls him off to the side and he's still dying throughout that whole scene. He's still choking on his own blood. That's really dark. Rather than, you know, an arrow to the head to take him out, it's an arrow through the throat and he chokes and dies there. So a very good monster hunter kill there. So that's Elsa's first kill, taking out Leorn, one of the other hunters. You mentioned earlier on, she also takes out two of the other hunters at the end. She takes out Barrasso and Azarel, both of them with effectively cutting them with swords, but pretty brutal. I think she throws Barrasso onto a sword with its throat on the ground and kills him there. But the death of Azarel, where she effectively slits her throat and then leaves the sword embedded in her head. Yeah. It was really brutal looking, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Just a bit. And of course, with Jovan, the Scottish hunter, he's actually taken out before this by Man-Thing with his kind of, yeah, I guess it's almost like he melts them.
Yeah, it's like
which was a really good kind of look to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think as you described it, it was almost like Man Thing doing flame on.
Yeah, yeah, it's like melting from Jovan's head all the way down. It's a great moment because, again, you're not sure who Man Thing is and what his abilities are or anything like that. So so seeing it on screen is really, really cool. Man Thing also gets another kill. He's the one that kills Verusa at the end of the episode, jumping in from the ceiling and just holding on to her sides. I kind of like that. The difference in the two where he put his hand on Jovan's head and it melted yeah. from the top down and kind of killed him instantly. Whereas with Verusa, because he grabs her from the side and she melts upwards, you see the skeleton going while she's still screaming. It's like it does feel much more like a horror death.
Yeah, almost. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
That makes me sound really tortured myself though, John, doesn't it? Like, I love that she's screaming the whole time she dies, but it's what you want in a horror movie. Well,
she
right?
is yeah. the kind of obnoxious one here, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's a great moment where she, with Elsa caged, Elsa just says, "Do you think my father would be happy with you trying to kill me?" Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And he goes, yes, compared to, you know, betraying this order.
Exactly.
And helping a monster. So she's a stepmother rather yes. than her birth mother. So there's yeah. seemingly no love lost at all between the two of these.
Absolutely.
But I think also we have Jack's security kills.
Yes.
And for me, I thought it was one of the best shots were they're all racing through the entrance mm-hmm. hallway. The shutter starts to close and the camera just is zooming in very slowly mm-hmm. as Jack is killing off and fighting with the security teams with their cattle prods, but you're getting blood on the lens.
Yeah, I love that.
It just really, really worked yeah. So well.
Yeah.
And then Verusa, they're trying to finish him off with the bloodstone.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah, that was a great set of kills from Jack yeah. there. I also love the first security guard he jumps on, he rips off his ear and throws it out over the back of the camera, basically. It's the way that it kind of comes towards the camera. I'm kind of wondering, would you be able to do that in the way that used to do 3D movies back in the 50s? It's coming towards you.
Yeah.
That kind of way. That's kind of cool, a little reference to that. But as we mentioned, just the lighting of the werewolf here as it's attacking everybody, it just works really, really well.
That's a superb bit of camera work. Yeah. Love it.
But there is, again, there's a lot of brutality in here, and it is kind of obscured within the black and white. There's one of them that he rips out the throat of and takes off the side of, I think. He cuts right into him, so but you don't see it as brutally as it would feel if it was
again
in color,
with the shadows. It's partially hidden,
yeah,
but you get this black ink effectively on the lens
exactly.
as it's zooming into the entrance, you yeah. know. It was really a good segment. I really enjoyed just how that was framed and how it worked and played out.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the whole movie finishes out with Elsa Bloodstone as the leader here. She's now gotten the Bloodstone in her hand. It was going to happen from the start. You kind of knew that, yeah. that was the story it was aiming towards. And then we have Jack out with Ted, Man-Thing. So they're out hiding out, I guess, in the woods,
yeah.
Camping out.
Having
their morning coffee, exactly. So, but we do have that really interesting flip of everything from black and white into color at the end of this with Somewhere Over the Rainbow, obviously most famously from The Wizard of Oz, a movie which started out in black and white yeah. and went into color while she was in Oz and went back to black and white at the end. This one the other way around, where we have black and white all the way through, ending off in color at the end, as if it's almost saying, right, now we're finished with that horror story that we've had. Here's characters you may see in the future with the three major characters we yeah. have here with Elsa and Jack and Man-Thing.
And I think the other nice touch of the black and white was having the Bloodstone red.
All the way through,
so
yes.
Only the Bloodstone having colour
yeah.
Through the black and white parts of this movie.
Yeah, it really made it stand out throughout, didn't it? Overall, that's the movie. That's the special presentation, the special feature. What did you think overall, John? Is there anything else that you wanted to add to the chat about it, or did we cover everything else off there?
Just, you know, we see the Bloodstone repulse Jack when he goes mm-hmm. to pick it up,
yep.
Showing sort of the revelation that he is actually a monster as well
mm-hmm.
Here. So there was that element.
Yep.
I kind of really enjoyed Elsa when she meets Ted, just saying, you have a wonderful name. Just because Jack basically tells her, treat him like a friend and just call him by Ted, you know? So I really kind of enjoyed that, for sure. Yeah.
Only other thing we didn't mention that I just really enjoyed was the servant playing the fire tuba as he brings Jack into the maze for the first time. I just thought that was such a great image, but made absolutely no sense. But it was good fun. But you know, a lot like this type of movie, it doesn't have to make sense. It just has to be fun and has to get the sense of what's going on and fit the mood of these type of movies.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely
did. That felt like something out of Rocky Horror Picture Show almost. There. So overall, John, do you defend this Marvel special presentation, Werewolf by Night?
I do defend Werewolf by Night. I'd give it 4 doggy bags out of 5. Nice. I just thought some really cool stuff in this.
Yeah.
I love that, again, it's just opening up the Marvel universe with the whole monsters. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, as a Doctor Strange fan, he has also been involved in this world as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really, really enjoyed seeing Man-Thing. I think that was on first watch of this, that was the biggest surprise, that it was Man-Thing.
Yeah.
And I was really pleased for that. I don't think with Jack Russell, even though you don't hear the name, I don't think it's a huge revelation that he's going to be the werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
But his transformation was just really classic horror from back in the day.
Yeah.
And I loved how that worked its way through this movie. So, yeah, I absolutely loved it. And I liked Elsa's sort of turn of phrase as well. Just almost coming across as not really bothered, but like, certainly to Veruza, and she was great as just almost like the evil stepmom.
Yeah.
So I love just the whole vibe of this. I mean, you know, it's in a sense, it's quite light. It's there's a lot of horror elements here.
Light with lots of gore, yes.
You know, it's not, you know, I tend to jump quite a lot. I didn't hear. It's quite light. I don't think there's too much in it other than just bringing in certainly the Bloodstones, who are an important, I guess, part of that world for Marvel monsters.
Yeah.
And I just thought this was really well done. So, yeah, 4 doggy bags out of 5 for me.
Excellent.
Derek, do you defend Werewolf by Night?
I really do. It's weird. I watched this for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't enjoy it the first time I watched it, and it was just literally because I'd had a really busy week and I was very tired watching it. But I was in totally the right mood to watch it around Halloween now. We've had a couple of weeks of watching lots and lots of horror movies, and this fits right in there. I think it works really well as a horror special for Marvel, but I do think you have to be the right mood for it because it's calling back to all those old creature features and horror movies from before. If you're not a fan of those, I don't think you'll enjoy it. And if you're not in the right mood to have a bit of fun in the Marvel world with this stuff, if you're expecting it to tie in with, you know, the greater Marvel universe or anything like that, you know, that's not what this is about. This is about having a lot of fun with a reasonably obscure character within the Marvel universe. But the introduction of Elsa Bloodstone here, who is a character that we know appears very regularly. She's been around for about 20 years. She appears very regularly in lots of different comic books, and she is a real badass, captured really well on screen here. But was also great to have this introduction of Jack Russell and Man-Thing in here. I'm intrigued to know what they do with the characters in the future. I like that we kind of still have them both separated. We have Elsa now in possession of the Bloodstone, so it's entirely possible that we could have a couple of Marvel Halloween movies featuring Elsa Bloodstone as she hunts other creatures, potentially. That might be the way you do it. You'd have a Dracula special next year, maybe, where Dracula versus Elsa Bloodstone, something like that. Dracula had his own set of comic books in Marvel Comics as well.
And I just want to see how Elsa kind of maybe reconnects, if at all, with Jack and Ted, just because I feel, you know, she's open to that not all monsters are ultimately monsters.
Bad. Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. Good stuff. We are going to move on to some feedback from our wonderful fellow defenders. So So yes, some Halloween feedback from our fellow defenders. First up, an email in from Coffee and Vodka, who says, greetings, fellow creature feature defenders. What a mashup. Noir horror and Marvel magic. A fun bit of nostalgia, although it fell down a bit of the writing, feeling like the last installment in a miniseries rather than its own thing. There was much to enjoy. The set and sound design, as well as the choice to film in black and white, provided a nice classic atmosphere, offset by a lot of Marvel tongue-in-cheek dialogue. And the decision to go with the Lon Chaney Jr. Wolfman rather than the all-out American Werewolf in London look completed the package. I've always preferred Swamp Thing to Man Thing. The whole those who know fear burning at his touch just seems incongruous with his otherwise nature based powers. Saying this, they portrayed Mucky Ted as a creature of empathy really well. The bond shared with Jack, then extended to Elsa, was almost cute, which starkly illuminated Verusa's sense of privileged evil. Otherwise, the other hunters were largely window dressing, adding to the feel of their backstories having been addressed in previously unavailable episodes. Still, it was a nicely contained and entertaining one-off. All in all, a good bit of fun. 3.5 Crypt Keepers, Jack Russell Terrors, and Bloodstone Baths out of 5. Peace and take care, Coffee and Vodka. P.S. Just curious, which do you fall into, Team Swamp Thing or Team Man Thing? Thanks, Coffee and Vodka.
Yeah, thanks so much, Coffee and Vodka. I think for me, I'm probably more Swamp Thing, but I don't really know that character that well either. But it's mainly through Constantine and Alan Moore's stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a really big reader of Swamp Thing at all, but that is the character I would know better, for sure.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I think I remember seeing the really poorly made Swamp Thing movie a couple of years ago, or probably about 20 years ago now at this stage, a couple of episodes of the TV show, which I did enjoy as well. And Man Thing, I'm not that familiar with. I think I've seen him in some of the horror comics that I used to get when I was a kid. I read a lot of Tomb of Dracula when I was younger, which was the Marvel horror comics, and I think Man-Thing appeared in there once or twice, but not a major connection with the character at all. So probably err on the side of Swamp Thing, mostly because it's written by Alan Moore. As John said, I'm a big fan of Alan Moore, so I probably know a bit more of him about that. But I liked Man-Thing in here. I thought it was a great way of dealing with the character in this movie. Enjoyed that.
Definitely. And I think you're right. You know, it is good fun. It's taking just, you know, that sense of nostalgia, the classic noir horror feel, and a bit of fun here. So definitely agree with you on that, Coffee and Vodka. So yeah, thanks for the feedback.
Thanks for that, Coffee and Vodka. We also got some feedback over on Facebook.
Yes. Ronaldo from Into the Night, the Moon Knight podcast says, holy bloody heck. Just watched it, and my God, it ticked every frigging box. The music and overall tone is an homage to classic horror and added volumes to the tension and electricity of the show. I've been an Elsa Bloodstone fan since Next Wave. I was so glad to hear they kept her British, sassy, and just damn cool. I was unsure about the casting of Laura Donnelly, but that all left me the first few moments she was on screen. The tie-in with Jack and Man-Thing was inspired, and although the purists may cringe at the Man-Thing showing cognition, it really didn't bother me. Bernal did great in adding empathy towards Jack, and the action with the werewolf was so visceral and thrilling. I can't wait for the MCU to expand the monster corner of their universe. I just hope they keep Donnelly and Bernal featured in any or all of it. Love this, and it is a serious contender for my favourite show of the year.
Ooh, wow.
Good stuff, Ronaldo. Thanks so much. Yeah, totally with you here. I think, you know, everything just kind of clicked really nicely here. And definitely want to see these two characters, along with Man-Thing, back in the wider MCU for sure. I really hope that it is that stepping stone now that we know we have the Black Knight, we have Blade coming back, there is Moon Knight and the connections there. So I think that's a really good sign.
Yeah, it'd be cool if this was the first of an annual set of specials, wouldn't it? Once a year, we get a check-in with Jack and with Elsa and Man-Thing. Be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
thanks for that, Ray.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Victor Von Doom on Facebook says, really love the style of this picture.
It reminds me of the old RKO and Universal Pictures. Well done. They certainly must work Jack and Ted into other projects. Definitely agree, Victor. Mm-hmm. Love to see them in some more stuff in the future,
yeah.
Along with Elsa as well.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Thanks, Victor. Donald Dennis says, this was spectacular. Once again, the MCU shows we don't have to be a generic comic book show. Instead, we can be fun and interesting. Over the past few years, the MCU has tried new things, played with preconceptions, and showed a bit of bravery in creating shows to appeal outside of their traditional target demographic. I like how they seem aware of potential fatigue and are stretching out and introducing new kinds of storytelling to the MCU. For this one in particular, it looked like the cast was chewing up the story and were probably having a blast. And of course, all of the surviving characters can now be tools in the belt for any other director in need of a werewolf, a magic stone and parrot hunter, or an Everglades swamp monster. My one gripe, it looked like any normal-sized person could probably have escaped from that cage. I like it. I suppose we do have a couple of moments when Gael Garcia Bernal is up against the side of the cage, and you see that it's that the bars are a bit close to get through. So I don't know whether he'd be able to get out. I know someone like Ant-Man could probably get out of it.
Certainly. Even Elsa could potentially have, you know, had a suck in and try and get through it.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Good stuff. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Donald.
Yeah, thanks, Donald. Really glad you enjoyed it. Greg Schwarm says, I love the noir aspect of this, although I do wish that they had just titled it Marvel Halloween Special and we hadn't had that hint from the title. I think it would have been a lot more suspenseful not knowing that portion of the title. Love the black and white with the small bit of red. It reminded me of Sin City, although I don't know if that was the movie or just the comic. Enjoyed it immensely. Excellent stuff, Greg. Yeah, certainly Sin City was also filmed in black and white, yep, with hints of colour, depending on the character.
Yeah, you had the yellow bastard who always, yes, appeared yellow when blood splattered on the screen. You get a big swath of red across the screen as well. So yeah, that was definitely the movie as well. I know what you mean there, Greg.
Yeah. Good stuff. Thanks, yeah, Greg.
I'm kind of happy that they kept the title of Werewolf by Night, because it's an obscure enough comic that it will attract people to go, ooh, they're doing something really weird here with their Marvel Halloween special. So
I guess,
it probably, yeah, attracted a few people in that may not have just checked out that Marvel Halloween special.
Definitely. I mean, as I say, I don't think it's a great surprise, no, when Jack transforms into it.
I don't think so. Yeah. But I don't know whether you need the surprise. The second time I watched it, I actually enjoyed it more than the first time anyway. So I wouldn't have been caught off guard by the surprise the second time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think it was just a fun movie and a good way to know what kind of horror you're going to be getting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We also got a message in from Salim Akisler, who said, I enjoyed this a ton. I went in not having a clue what to expect and loved it. My only nitpick is it was more of an Elsa Bloodstone origin story than a Werewolf by Night story. I'm sure Marvel has plans ahead for Elsa, Jack, and Ted.
Yes, let's hope so. Yeah, hope so. Indeed. Yeah, thanks, Salim.
And finally, Dr. Bob Phillips says, Hunger Games meets Crystal Maze meets the Addams Family with sense of Rocky Horror and added flickers of Dusty Flair and the Demons. Corridor fight was great, and while I don't have the education to know it, was the Were Gorilla Transformation a pastiche of 40s horror beast flicks, or just a humanized version of King Kong? Would have easily passed this by if it weren't for your podcast, and then I'd never have asked myself the question, how many homes do have a human-sized birdcage in them? See? Always good things coming out.
Exactly. Yes, how did they get it in there?
I feel like it drops from the ceiling to capture people. It's like it's hanging up there all the time, and it just drops down from the ceiling. Because it's the same room that they're in at the beginning of the episode,
yeah,
isn't it? So, I like that. I like that. Good stuff. Thanks, Dr. Bob. I'm glad we were able to allow you to find this one.
Yes.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Great stuff. Thanks, yeah, Bob.
Sometimes you make people watch things they really don't want to watch. So I'm glad you enjoyed that one. Once again, if you want to tell us your thoughts about Werewolf by Night or any of the other shows we're covering, email us into feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com. That's it for our discussion about Werewolf by Night, this special Marvel presentation. We will be back with Marvel for Wakanda Forever, which comes out on the 11th of November. And we just finished covering She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. And we're currently chatting about Pennyworth Season 3 on TV Podcast. podcast in this as well over on HBO Max. Did you hear the announcement this week as well of another returning character in the MCU? We're going to be getting a second spin-off from WandaVision with the White Vision coming back, yes, played by Paul Bettany.
Vision Quest, indeed.
Seems to be a working title. I'm not 100% sure if that's the title of the show.
I don't think it will
But I do
be.
Like Vision Quest as the name of it.
It's a good gag, for sure. Well, that's good because, you know, at the end of the day, the White Vision has been sort of, you know, floating around, I guess, since the end of WandaVision. And we haven't seen him
Anywhere else.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'd be good to know what happens to old White Vision.
Absolutely. And Paul Bettany, one of the longest serving character actors in Marvel now, all the way back to Iron Man. So it'd be kind of cool to have him back explaining what's going on as he learns who he is and potentially another appearance of Scarlet Witch if we do get him back.
Well, I guess he might go after old Doctor Strange, given what happened there in Multiverse of Madness.
But lots and lots more to come on TV Podcast Industries, especially from Marvel. Loads more to come. But thank you so much for joining us for our podcast about Werewolf by Night. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Yes, thank you, fellow spooky defenders, for joining us. Great chatting about this one-off special presentation, Werewolf by Night. Yeah. But remember, in the meantime, keep watching, keep listening, and keep defending. And don't be afraid of the dark.
Bye.
Bye.